on this week's broadcast of Peace to Live By.
No one ever ceases to exist. We know that if we are Christians. We know that every person needs the chance to believe in Jesus, to believe on Him for the forgiveness of their sins. And so, the cemetery is the greatest gospel reminder I have personally found. Nothing reminds me more of the importance of the gospel, of people's hearing, and of their believing in it. For those who do believe, the tombstone doesn't mean much because they will rise again.
Thank you for joining us on today's broadcast. The weekly radio program Peace to Live By features Bible teacher Daniel Litton and is found online at peacetoliveby.org. The mission of the broadcast is to give firm foundations of clear biblical truth and to share the truth with those who are not in a personal relationship with Jesus yet. Now, let's listen to today's message.
Happiness point number 83, enjoy the journey. I think paying particular attention to the traffic when you are out and about is a good indicator. I mean that watching the traffic closely shows you that people are always in a hurry to go from one place to the next, from point A to point B. And in stopping to consider that, it becomes obvious that it's such a waste of time. What about all the travel time? Why do people always have to be in a hurry? Why not actually enjoy the journey from one place to the next? Why does it have to be done in the fastest manner possible, at the fastest speeds? Truly, the drive time is being wasted worrying about getting to the next destination. This is often what people do in life. They are in such a hurry to get to the next event or the next stage in life. The college person is in a hurry to graduate and get out into the workforce. The person working one job may be in a hurry to get to a new, higher-paying job. The single person is in a hurry to find someone important and get married. It's just being dissatisfied with where a person is and only focusing on the future. But what about now? Can't now be enjoyed? Does the present have to be wasted away in hopes for the future? Yet this is what we have found ourselves doing, just wasting good experiences we could be having right now for the hope that things will get better. Hurrying for the sake of hurrying really shows a bad habit in full manifestation. It demonstrates to all the world that we really don't understand how life works and what the important things actually are. We are deceived. Life is the time between points, the time of the journey. That being the case, we better learn to enjoy the journey because that's what life is. If we don't enjoy it, we miss most of life. The big events are not the meaning to life. It is as Ben Franklin has taught us, quote, "Happiness consists more in small conveniences or pleasures that occur every day than and great pieces of good fortune that happen but seldom to a man in the course of his life." End of quote. Indeed, this is one of my favorite quotes. Happiness point number 84, having a good, consistent effort. We have three choices, really, when it comes to working on something, whatever that something is. The first choice is that we work half-hearted, and we only accomplish the task just to get it done, to check it off our list. The reverse of that, going to the other end of the spectrum, is that we work really hard. We mull over every detail and get something just right, at least as perfect as we can get it. This takes a lot of time and mental, rigorous effort. The third option is that we do a good job. We don't work half-heartedly, but we don't overwork it either. Our work ends up good, but not underdone or overdone. A lot of people probably pick the second choice, the working really hard choice, as the correct way to go about things. However, let us consider why that might not be the best course of action. I believe the third option is best. I believe it's best when we have a good, consistent effort. You see, our effort can only be consistent when we have enough energy to do the next project. If we overwork on something, we are going to be too burned out to even do the next thing. But by doing a good job instead, we are pleased with our work, and having done that good job, we can accomplish the next task with energy still left in us. The truth is, everything in the world could in fact be done better. There's always a way or a person who can do something better. Jesus strove for good, consistent effort when he was here on the earth. He didn't overwork and he didn't underwork. He had a good balance. He spent a lot of time praying by himself. He spent time socializing. He didn't rush from one point to the next, trying to get in as many places as he possibly could on his grand tour. He left a lot to do for the apostles after him, for the apostle Paul even. One could say that Paul was even more zealous than the Lord, and he even left things undone for others to complete. The point is, we don't have to do everything ourselves. It's okay to do a fair share, and that is good enough. Happiness point number 85, move away from low-vibe people. People all have different vibration patterns about them. Some are what we would call high-vibe, some are of average-vibe, and some are low-vibe. It's great when we are around high-vibe people. They encourage us to keep moving forward, they energize us, it's fun to be around them. And then there's the normal vibe people, which probably has the most in it. Sometimes they encourage, and other times they just are. But they definitely don't have a habit of hurting. Hurting comes from the low vibe people. They are the ones who are full of negativity, full of criticism and correction. Simply put, they are an annoyance. We dread being around these types of people. They don't know how to correctly relate to other people. I am a firm believer that if we are going to live happy, successful lives, that one of the things that we have to do is eliminate the low-vibe people from our lives as much as possible. This is because of what the Bible tells us, and that bad company messes up a good person. We might think of bad company as a person who is clearly involved in sin, or clearly involved in things we don't want to be involved with as a Christian. But the truth is, bad company can also be people who drag us down energetically. People who are discouragers instead of encouragers, people who have an overly serious way about them, who discourage fun, who value perfectionism and suffering. These are people we want to get away from. You see, the low vibe person is one who is filled with internal problems that haven't been dealt with. Sometimes a person is aware they are low vibe, but usually they are not aware of it. Some, in fact, think that the whole Christian life is supposed to be low vibe. They'll say, "We live in a sinful world. Things are bad. We aren't supposed to be happy. We are supposed to sacrifice and suffer." All they are seeing is the negative. They can't see the positive no matter what you do. Again, it's because the negativity is coming from the inside. It is what is on the inside that becomes our characters. How is it that we aren't supposed to live negatively or supposed to sacrifice and suffer in our lives? Remember, the Apostle Paul told us in the Scriptures to think about good things. He made a very specific point of that. It doesn't mean that we aren't going to have problems. It doesn't mean that everything will always be the way we want it. Yet even Paul, in the ways he put himself out there for the gospel, being arrested and whatnot, still believed one should have positive thoughts. I mean, have you ever thought about that? If anyone had the right to be negative, it was Paul. And yet, he deliberately chose to think about good things in the midst of everything he was doing. If we don't move away from negative people, we will end up poisoning our lives. It is just that simple. As another biblical writer talked about, the same well cannot spring forth good water and bad water at the same time. No matter what needs to be done, what one has to do, moving away from low vibe people is critical. That way, they cannot bring you down energetically, and you are free then to think about things the right ways, the correct ways. You are free to think positively because you don't always have negative people standing around ready to pop your balloons. Happiness point number 86. Decide you don't judge the Creator. Probably one of the biggest temptations I have faced in my own life is to judge the Creator when bad things happen. I mean, it sounds so bad. Why would you judge God for bad things that happen, someone might ask. And I think my logic behind it always was that, well, God had the ability to prevent whatever it was, therefore, God is at fault. However, with that kind of mindset, we will quickly find ourselves at fault, because God never is. Just because God has the ability to prevent things doesn't mean he is at fault when bad things happen. Let's think about this whole concept. God has given everyone the ability to make choices. We can choose to do this or that, for the good and even for the bad. I have come to the conclusion over many years of thinking about it, that God is not at fault because he had limited himself, in a way we really cannot understand, to human choices. What I mean is that God allows humans to make choices, and he refuses to interfere with those choices. Understanding things that way makes much more sense. If God controlled everyone's choices, then no one would really be making choices in the first place. He would just be running everything behind the scenes. So, I have come up with the conclusion, in light of the fact that God allows us to choose things, that he then is not at fault when things don't work out in our favor. If someone else, say the business you work for, decides to make a choice that directly puts you out of work, that's not God's fault. He didn't interfere with their choice. Now, God can work good for us and get us another job somewhere else, and He will do that for us, especially when we don't judge Him for our now negative circumstances. But it's important to realize that God wasn't at fault. He was bound by it just as much as you were. Sure, theoretically, He could have intervened and made things go a different direction, but He usually doesn't do that. When we make the conscious choice not to judge God for bad things that happen, then we increase our happiness level a lot. This means that when unfortunate events do come our way, that we don't feel like we need to get mad at God. We don't even feel like God was at fault for allowing whatever to have happened happen. Rather, instead, we seek God for His comfort and His help in our newfound situation. This way, with this attitude, He can provide us with help to get us out of or through whatever we are facing. Happiness point number 87, sit in the cemetery. Once or twice a year, I will usually find time to go to the cemetery and take a seat. Sounds strange, someone might say. What is wrong with you? Well, actually, I find that sitting in the cemetery is a good reminder of things. For one, when I sit in the cemetery, I can remember that one day I am going to die. Just like all these tombs bear witness to, one day that's going to be me. I'm no different than anyone else. One day I am going to be buried in the ground like the rest of these people. And that being the case, it reminds me that my time here on the earth is important, and that what I spend my life doing is important. What other lives am I going to affect for the good? And that thought being in view, it then brings up the next point, and that is that really other people matter. We all affect people in different ways. We all have people that are important to us, family members, friends, and even acquaintances. We can each make a difference in the lives of people, whether we realize this fact or not. Some of us for the good, some of us in a neutral way, and unfortunately, some of us in a bad way. It would be nice if I could say that everyone helps everyone else, but we all know experientially that that is not the case. I wouldn't be telling the truth if I said otherwise. So in light of that, how do we live our lives? How are we doing? Which person are we? And third, sitting in the cemetery reminds me that just as behind every tombstone was a person who lived, so it is that behind every tombstone is a person who is still living. No one ever ceases to exist. We know that if we are Christians. We know that every person needs the chance to believe in Jesus, to believe on Him for the forgiveness of their sins. And so, the cemetery is the greatest gospel reminder I have personally found. Nothing reminds me more of the importance of the gospel, of people's hearing, and of their believing in it. For those who do believe, the tombstone doesn't mean much because they will rise again. They, like their Lord Jesus, will rise from the dead to a new life, and one of which death can never occur again. Happiness point number 88, understanding happiness as a choice. Most people see their personal happiness as dependent upon their circumstances. I do it at times, though I am trying more and more to get out of this mindset. Why is this bad? To base our happiness on our external circumstances. Well, it's an incorrect line of thinking because true happiness comes from our relationships with God. It doesn't come from whether things are seemingly going good or seemingly going bad. It doesn't come from how many people like us today versus how many people are upset with us. When we know we are in right relationship with the Creator, we can truly be happy and spend time with Him on a daily basis. I think that the more and more I live out my life, I have come to realize that the less the things I want, the less the things I desire, the happier and freer I feel. The very essence of the feeling of wanting whatever it is that we want means that things are incomplete right now. Deep down in the realm of how things really are, we know that's not true. Like I said, what really matters is that we are in right relationship with God. If I want a girlfriend, a house, a new car, a new computer, more friends, closer friends, whatever it is, then I am looking to the future for my happiness. I am saying I can't be happy right now because things are not as I want them to be. That's a bad place to be in, really, and yet that's where there's a tendency for us to live. When we live too focused on this earth and what we see with our eyes, we find that we have based our happiness in many temporary things. That's what the carnal person, to use a scriptural term, does. That's what our sin nature wants us to do. We can base our entire happiness on things that may not be in the near future. That can be possessions, our career, other people, how much money's in the bank, whatever. Those things are all subject to change. What's interesting about focusing on the external is that we know that no matter how rich we are, whether that is in possessions or friends, that really doesn't even guarantee our happiness, does it? Think of all the celebrities who've had all the possessions and friends and yet ended up unhappy. The truth is that happiness is inside of us. That is where it belongs. And that truly happy feeling comes, again, from our knowing that everything between us and God is good. This is made possible initially by what Jesus has accomplished for the world on the cross. His rising from the dead to new life means we can have new life. That's really all we need, and really all that can give us access to the happiness we want. When we practice, when we live out our relationships with God, then we experience happiness. There is nothing like spending time with Him, knowing everything is really okay, knowing we don't need anything besides Him. And understanding that no matter what happens, because we have Him, we are okay. Happiness point number 89. Watch TV, you can only read so much. I love to learn. I love to read. I can spend a long time reading about this or that. I can read about American history for a couple hours. I can spend quite a long time reading biblical commentary or multiple commentaries consecutively. Nonfiction is great. There are so many subjects to consider. And of course, there is self-development. That's probably the most interesting to read of them for hope of discovering something new. It's always fun to be on the hunt for the next realization, the next thing that can be implemented into our lives in order to try to make them better. All that being said, the truth is that I can only read so much. I get tired of reading because while it is fun, it does take a lot of mental energy. That's because our eyes are moving across the pages constantly. If it's something that you have never read before, you're taking in new information. You're downloading it to your brain. That requires energy. That requires thinking. And while it's fun, I can only do it so much. Personally, after about 2 or 3 hours of reading something, I am usually done. That's about as far as I can get with whatever it is. So what I have found is that watching TV is a good alternative when I have found reading to become too cumbersome. If I want to learn something new, I can watch a documentary or some history-related show. There are biographies, there are movies that are wholesome and about historic things which I can learn or just enjoy. Not sure exactly what it is, but watching TV seems to have a different impact on my head. It doesn't seem to require as much energy, as much thinking, as reading does. So, to make sure I stay happy, I only read so much, and I try to balance it with some good TV.
Thanks, Daniel. This is the Peace to Live By radio program featuring Bible teacher Daniel Litton. The goal of the Peace to Live By broadcast is to give Christians firm foundations in biblical truth and to share the truth with those who don't know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. To download and listen to complete messages by Daniel, visit peacetoliveby.org. To contact the ministry, you can send emails to messages@peacetoliveby.org. If you want to contact Daniel directly, send your email to daniel@peacetoliveby.org. You can visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/peacetoliveby and be sure to hit the like button. Again, the web address for Peace to Live By is peacetoliveby.org. Until next time, for Daniel Litton, I'm Wayne Shepherd. We'll be back next week for another episode of Peace to Live By. The Bible says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all."This program is produced and sponsored by Peace to Live By Ministry, Powell, Ohio.